Far across the land and sea, Utu, Utu B, Aguna. 5,000 miles away, a few Arsenal Bangalore fans come together to discuss all things Arsenal. Welcome to the Bangalore Gooners podcast. If you don't believe you can do it, then you have no chance at all. One of Arsene Wenger's finest quotes and one of personal favorites. If this was said before Arsenal went invincibles, it would have surely become an all-time famous quote of Arsene Wenger. The fact that he mentioned that we go unbeaten and then went on to achieve it is something incredible. This is Anjan, your host, and welcome to episode 9 of the Bangalore Gooners podcast. With me, Vivek and Vinay, as we discuss today about the Invincibles. So guys, when I say Invincibles, what is that one thing that comes to your mind? It could be a random memory, an emotion, a phrase, whatever. What is the one thing that comes to your mind?
So for me, I think, so we can break this up into many parts. But if you're going to talk about just emotion, I think it's just a sense of pride. I think achieve at a league level, there is probably nothing greater to achieve. I know that City, we have the Centurions in the form of City, but if given a choice, I think anyone would choose to go an entire season unbeaten, because that is simply the pinnacle of any achievement, anything that you can possibly achieve in terms of the first division of any league. So yeah, in terms of an emotion, I think we can get to the memory parts maybe a bit later. But if you're talking just emotion, it's just a surreal sense of pride.
I think I agree. It's about being proud because it's not easily achieved or hardly achieved. Preston did it. And that too, that's in 18th century, I think, 19th century. So Premier League or even the First Division, as it was called, not a team has achieved. So it's a lot of pride. We hold it very dearly because ask any Arsenal fan, what is it that they hold most dear? I think they will say the Invincibles tag. So, yeah, pretty much echoing what Vivek said, it's a matter of pride. It's a matter of reflection. And it's also a matter of what could have been. So, all three.
Yeah, very true. For me, it's, quite simply unparalleled greatness. Because like Vivek mentioned, it's the pinnacle. I mean, there's nothing beyond that. Sure, we can debate about, the number of wins, the number of draws and whatnot. But, without losing a game, winning the championship is, something quite incredible. The Invincibles documentary, which was recently released on demand by Arsenal. So when I was watching it, Arsene starts by saying he mentioned it to the team that they could go unbeaten the season before. And the players, felt that pressure and, eventually lost a game in the 2002-03 season. And when Arsene asked them why, they openly told him that it was all because of him that they put the pressure, he put the pressure on them. But when we went on to win the league next season unbeaten, so how much of a contribution do you think Arsene's claim that we can go unbeaten? How much of a contribution that played, and how much of a loss that the that we had in the previous season played on the minds of the players?
So I think there's two ways of looking at it. Wenger always believed in his players. He's probably believed in them more than they've believed in themselves. So when you look at it from a standpoint that he was probably managing one of his oldest squads, one of his most revered squads, they've done it on they had also done it on the international stage. I think they could carry the pressure that came with Wenger's beliefs, because whatever Wenger said, it was also in the press. So the press never really let that go either. Right? The media was always on the fact that, what was he called? Comical? I think Wenger was called comical for whatever he said. So that also played into the same season. I mean, the second time out when we were trying to go unbeaten. So I think it's a lot of things, but I think the players could manage that pressure, and on some level they bought into what Arsene said, so it worked in our favor as well. I think at some point we started believing that okay, this season could finally be it.
If I may add to that, the Invincibles are going an entire season unbeaten. If you were to look back on, at least from the times of what we could recollect, we were close. George Graham would have done it. 91 when we won the league, I think. We lost just one game. I'm fairly certain we just lost one game. I still believe the 97, 98 and the 2001-2 squads on the overall balance, I would suggest considering the bench strength were even better than this squad, and they could have done it as well. They were that good, especially that defense. But what culminated, as Vivek said, was probably the peaking of some of your best players. Henry, for example, he had, I don't know, 9 seasons of 20-plus goals, but that season he had a lot of assists. You had Dennis playing well, you had Vieira doing it, and you had Sol Campbell leading the defense. So there were a lot of things, but it's these players who you don't mention. These guys were expected. These are top players. Henry, Perez, Vieira, Bergkamp playing for any club in this world would have still been excellent whenever they play. But and Ashley Cole and Lauren, I will mention that when we go into a little bit of detail into the unbeaten season. How important were those contributions? They are not your superstars. The superstars pulled the game through when things weren't going well. Henry, for example, again, the Liverpool games during the unbeaten season. Pires scoring at Anfield. But you should remember these players more because they had not had that kind of, neither they could have handled that kind of pressure nor the adulation. So I think Vivek is right. We had that squad of players who were literally guarding these kind of players, taking the pressure on themselves. Arsene saying that, I still feel we lost the league. We lost the Leeds the previous season. Viduka scoring and all that stuff at Highbury. We would have won the league then also. Maybe it got into their heads. Wenger was trying to do that, maybe. I don't know. Obviously, these are all playing on psyche of or mindsets of players. But I think we just screwed up 2002-03. And maybe the players realized it later on that we screwed it up, we need to make it up. So the Invincibles of that season winning the league, Arsene obviously played his part, but I think the players were more determined to win it.
So, do you guys think it was more of individual players' contribution or the sum of its parts of the, you know, the team or the squad?
I think Vinay mentioned a lot of players, but he somehow, he eventually mentioned them. But his favorite, I think Perez was a huge contributor that season. He scored more than 15 goals league alone. For a winger back then, like, sure, now a lot more is defined through the wingers and the fullbacks, but you rarely had wingers who could score 20 goals that season. And he scored 15 in the league alone. I'm pretty sure if we were to go back and check the statistics, including the cup competition, it would have been an easily 20-plus goal season for Perez. And he was simply magnificent that season. Like Vinay said, that goal at Anfield, that was in from the moment it was hit, right? I think that's one of the famous lines in one of the commentaries, at least. Probably Andy Gray, I'm not sure. Like Perez, players like Henry kind of led from the front, you could say. Of course, Campbell, Vieira, Gilberto was excellent that season too. Let's not forget him either. Ashley Cole was always good for whatever period he was at Arsenal. These players really came to the fore, but you also had Bergkamp, maybe if not even in his peak in 04, he still chipped in with some vital goals. So yeah, it was the perfect mix coming together. It was your squad players like Edu and Will Todd chipping in wherever required. Jose Antonio Reyes, second half of the season. So yeah, it was the fringe players or other squad players also playing a key role. I mean, can you imagine? Martin Keown just played 3 games. He started only 3 games, but we remember him the most that season for we know what moment. So yeah, it's a lot of things put together, but the likes of Henry and Perez definitely, Henry, Perez, Vieira, the French quartet, they definitely led from the front.
Just a honorary mention about Jose Antonio Reyes, who's not with us anymore, a true invincible. Vinay, your thoughts on that, individual players, or some of the parts of the squad?
A lot of fringe players or players like, say, Colatore, made breakthrough season, you could say. As Vivek said, Martin Keown was your central defender who hardly played games during that entire season, except that Old Trafford one. Torre played a lot. Campbell was a rock. Jens played his part, of course. Remember one of his most famous lines Jens said after reflecting on the season. And I do mention the same, that after all the things that we look at it, the greatness of that squad, I think they did underachieve. 12 draws were too many. We could have won a lot more, but let's not go there. Jens played his part. Ashley Cole was by far the best left back in the country then, and for me, at least in the Premier League era, I can't think of a better left back than him wherever he played, even though he left us. So a lot of fantastic players, but invincibles always brings you Arsenal playing what it became renowned for, right? We kept on scoring. I'm not sure if we ever could have scored more than that, than what we did in that season. We knew we will score. You heard the likes of the Neville brothers and others saying that, or Carragher saying recently that when we went to Highbury and stood in that tunnel, when we looked at these guys, they were big, they were strong, they had that aura about them, saying like, it's tough, you're not going to beat us, we know we are going to beat you, kind of an attitude. Hence, it was a team of winners. You had everybody who just knew in them that this is a squad that is going to win. Hence, I feel the 12 draws were too many.
All right. Going back to what Vivek mentioned about, the comical Wenger jibe. I mean, it was bold, let's be honest, what Arsene said before. So I go back and revisit one of his quotes, where he says, don't be scared to have a high ambition. It's not a humiliation to have high ambition and failing to reach that ambition. For me, the real humiliation is having an ambition and not willing to fight to achieve it. For me, at least personally, he's not just a football manager. He transcends all that. He's also, a philosopher, if you will. So I think he imbibed all these philosophy into his team also. But when he mentioned that, I mean, his team could go on and win the championship unbeaten, a lot was, spoken about fans, taking a dig at him and even the media. So do you think or do you feel that, the media, the pressure from the media also, and the fans' expectation, the Arsenal fan expectation, and the pressure from the other fans, just waiting for, the team to lose so that, take a dig at him. So all these were playing in mind, because each game, he has to do the tactics, ensure his team wins the points. And at the back of his mind, there'll always be this, thought that I have already, said this out loud. And I need to make sure that the team does not
lose. Yeah, look, I mean, I think what you said is very accurate. I think the pressure definitely played a part. If for whatever weird reason, if somehow the players weren't as conscious or as under pressure to go the season unbeaten, I think we would have probably scored more and we would have probably won more and we wouldn't have had 12 draws. So that definitely played a part. If you go back and check, I think out of the last five games in the Premier League that season, we won only three. That's because I'm sure it's playing on the mind of the players that, okay, let's not lose. That comes first now because we wrapped up the league once we beat Leeds final and I think the 2-2 at Spurs, we had won the league, right? And there was nothing left to play for that season. Maybe at some point we'll talk about the Champions League and the FA Cup, which were the only disappointments that season. We had nothing to play for in the last five games. So the only thing that we had left was to just ensure we see out the season and we go unbeaten. So we drew to Birmingham, we drew to Portsmouth, and the only two games that we won in the last five were won by a difference of just one goals. So it definitely played a part. That is not to undermine what is done. I think that just goes to show how difficult a feat it is to achieve. Liverpool this season, for all their greatness, you just end up losing. You can't. It is impossible to have a perfect season. And for us to have come so close, like, I mean, just 12 less. If we had won the 12 more games, it would have been all wins, right? I mean, it's super difficult. It's not easy. Just to go the season unbeaten is so difficult. We've had Pep's greatest of city sides. Alex Ferguson has won so many leagues. It's ridiculous, but never done it unbeaten. Liverpool's arguably the greatest English club there is, purely in terms of titles. They still didn't do it unbeaten. So yeah, I think it played on the player's mind, but that doesn't take away from the fact of how great an achievement it is.
I think the pressure was there, but pressure also translates to performances. I think some extremely important games where we look like we are going to lose, or we are likely to go ahead and most likely drop points or convert it into wins or those kind of things. Remember, we did not beat United that season. It was draw both Highbury and Old Trafford. One of the mentions that you said was that week where we were knocked out of the Champions League as well as the FA Cup. And for me, that is the biggest disappointment with this squad, that we did not go on to win the Champions League. We lost to Chelsea, of all teams. Wayne Bridge scoring, I think. It was a disaster. And then we are out of the FA Cup. And then we are trailing against Liverpool half-time. And then that solo goal. A lot of times, you tend to have these players who are... That's why they're called stars, right? I mean, not just because they're so skillful. You could probably say you may find a better, more skilled footballer than some of these players that we are talking of. But the attitude, the absolute will to win at adversities, that's what makes them champions. So I think the pressure was there. Arsene took a lot of it right at the start, as it was mentioned. Arsene protects his players quite a bit. I have never ever heard him admonish anybody in public. Private may be a different thing, but he always gave the benefit of doubt to every player. So he took a lot of it. He was ridiculed simply because, let's be honest, the UK public and generally the UK public has this notion about Arsene who, and he's an outsider. He was always treated as an outsider. The world looks upon Arsene as someone like, oh, a revolutionary or one of the most advanced thinking coaches that you could have had. But for the English and the UK media tabloids, it was always, even the public there, always had this thing like, oh, an unknown Frenchman coming and doing these things. It was just too much for them to handle. So, yeah, the pressure was bound to be put more on him, because even the greatest of squads, when compared to this, the 99 United squad, or as Vivek mentioned, the Pep's teams or Liverpool's team, I think the Conte's team of Chelsea, they won 30 games, I think, out of 38. That's huge. 30 out of 38 is amazing. But still, they lost. They still lost. So that is probably the only thing. I think it will be done. I think there will be some day where a club will go unbeaten. Because I think the league's level of... or how do I put it across? I don't think so. The quality of teams are as good as it was in the Premier League. I think the top teams are going to go further and further away. We will have upsets, but I think the quality is lacking right now. So I wouldn't have been surprised if Liverpool went unbeaten this season, simply because they are miles ahead, which should not happen. But they are like, what? Some 15, 20 points ahead of, I don't even know who is second. Is it City or Leicester?
No one really cares, I think.
Yeah, really. No one really knows.
Yeah,
no one knows. I would say that team had to handle different kinds of pressure. That's what made them that good. I think I don't think so. That needs a debate. Honestly, I think the yardstick of measuring could be in different ways. That way, it could lead to a lot of debates. Each club will have their own teams, which they will say is much better than the Invincibles. And they will say man for man or points for points, if we average it out, etc., etc. But realistically, the simple yardstick of saying that we, if until and unless a club goes unbeaten without losing a single game in a season, I think we just have to accept and agree that this is the best team in the Premier League era. I really don't think so. There could be any debate on this. Yes, man for man, points for points. Obviously, 90 points is what we achieved. That has been surpassed many a time now. We were literally wondering what would Liverpool end up with this season. 100 plus is a guarantee. City already did the 100. So points wise, there could be a lot of debate. But unless somebody comes and shows in sheer column called L, there is zero. I don't think so. There is any debate on this being the best squad.
Yeah, right. So so both of you mentioned that it will be done someday. I mean, if you're predicting the future, you might as well tell, you know, when this pandemic will end. But if somebody had asked you right after we won the we became the Invincibles, I'm sure you or whoever is now saying that some team will eventually do it, you would have said the same back then also. And the fact that it's almost, say, 15 plus years and nobody has done it. We have seen different kinds of records been broken, you know, maximum number of wins, maximum number of points, the 100 mark breached, whatnot. So, but it's never been done till now. So I think, you know, that equates to, you know, greatness that has been never achieved so far. So, I mean, it might be an Arsenal fan in me talking, but I doubt if it will ever be achieved.
I think it the only reason I say, or both of us are saying, or that this could be achieved is simply, as I told you, one is the quality of the opposition. And I think we are going to see, I would have bet, if you had asked me to just name one club, who do you think can achieve? I'm not saying they will, but can achieve, City. Simply put, I think City would be the club that I would have. Liverpool right now, this squad, the team that they currently have, this was their best chance, I think. They just literally are steamrolling teams apart. And Watford on their day, thank heavens for that, did what the entire world was hoping, except for Liverpool fans, that they could, and thank God they did that. But they could have done this season. I did not think any team apart from City looked like beating Liverpool. So still I maintain that City squad, if they retain most of these players and add in a couple more, have probably a realistic chance. But yeah, it's very, very tough. There will be a day that, just that odd day like that game that Liverpool lost at Watford, is bound to happen over a long season of 9 months.
Yeah, so you're staying on that point. Were the Invincibles the greatest Premier League team ever? So Vivek mentioned, you know, Ferguson's United have won a lot of, you know, trophies, the treble and whatnot, and the Centurions of Pep Guardiola. This current Liverpool squad, who were, you know, almost there, we eventually had to be thankful for Watford. So where do you put this team, and do we have to, you know, consider factors like say the finances, the cash flow, or various other, you know, parameters?
We are Arsenal fans, so I think it's going to be difficult for any of us to look beyond the fact that we went unbeaten and thereby invincible, and therefore that simply put makes us the greatest Premier League side ever since the time it became the Premier League, right? But if we go into it more subjectively, then yeah, the only challenges are probably the treble winning team of United, Chelsea's 30 game winning season, City's Centurions, and what could have been this season. We don't know. We don't quite know yet how all things are going to pan out, right? But I think how we need to look at it is, if you go and you ask Chelsea, United, City, or Liverpool this season if it eventually ends. If you ask them, would you have rather won with 100 points or winning 30 games or doing well in all competitions, or would you have rather just gone unbeaten purely in terms of the league? And I think there's only one answer to it. No one's got a gold trophy. I'm sure it is for a reason, and that gold trophy thing is only going to happen again if and when someone goes unbeaten, which I think will happen too. It's a matter of when, not if. But yeah, it's been more than 20 years now. So, of course, I don't think there should be much debate of the fact that squad of Arsenal's in 2003-2004 is almost undebatable that it's probably the greatest league team ever.
Yeah, correct.
So I hope it's never done. I hope it's never done. And we always have that gold trophy for ourselves, because that should be something that should happen in a lifetime, only once. Because very few things tend to remain a constant. It always changes. Hopefully, this is one thing that never changes.
Yeah, right. Hope is a good thing. We will hold on to that gold trophy. Don't you worry. So one of the comments on Twitter from Hariharan was that, again, it goes back to the comical winger jibe. As a fan, you would wish, your team goes an entire season unbeaten. Though the primary, wish will have them win the league. But do you think as managers, the current generation or those who are, coaching now or managing teams now, do they also have it, on the back of their mind that this is going to be my aim? Because, say, someone like a City, Guardiola, after he came in, he has adapted very well. He has found out what needs to be done. So do you think that is something that will be on the back of his mind, or was it something that was on the back of Klopp's mind before Liverpool lost to Watford? Because let's face it, they were strolling towards the league victory.
I think what the one thing that is in common between City's Centurions and probably whatever Klopp's done the last two seasons is both the managers, at least I think one of Liverpool's players, maybe it was Robertson, came out and said that yeah, they think they can go unbeaten. But from the coach's standpoint or the manager's standpoint, they both outrightly denied it the entire season. They said that's never their goal. They're just taking it game by game, and they just want to win the league, and anything else is an added bonus. I think it goes back to what Wenger said and how well the players handled it back then. Because no coach, no manager will want to say it out, because they know that once you admit the obvious, sometimes you need to admit the obvious to pile on that extra pressure. Though it looks like you're probably aiming for it, unless you say it out loud, no one's really going to talk about it as much. It's not going to be much noise around it. So neither Guardiola nor Klopp nor Ferguson ever, I think, I don't quite remember, but I don't think he ever said either that their season of that particular, their team of that particular season will go unbeaten.
Yeah, I think Wenger mentioned something about even though the other managers may, give a thought about it, they will not say it out loud because of, sounding ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, to say it aloud takes a lot of... One is he was convinced that this team could do it, because the previous season, as I mentioned, I think we lost in February or March. So we were very close then also. But no manager, I think, will ever tell that I'm going to go unbeaten. Those are all things that you tend to fantasize that, oh yeah, that perfect day. But you ask any manager right now, you ask realistically any Arsenal fan, would you go unbeaten or would you win the league? Remember, that's a possibility. You can go an entire season unbeaten. You may have that many draws that you may not have sufficient points to win the league. And I'll be the first to answer. I don't care if we don't go unbeaten. I just want us to win the league. So any manager will say winning is more important. Yes, unbeaten is just that crown that is going to be placed. If at all by chance, as I said, if the Arsenal team of that 2003-04 had still gone unbeaten and had, let's say, for example, 19 wins and 19 draws, and we are not there in terms of winning the league. And the second place team was, I think, Chelsea that season, won the league over us. We wouldn't be gloating over going a season unbeaten, because it culminates in winning the league also, right? That's the most crucial thing. Unbeaten is the feather on the cap, the icing on the cake. But winning the league is far more important, and every manager will say the same, including Arsene, including Pep, including Klopp, name anybody. Winning is more important. How you win it really shouldn't make a difference.
Yeah, that is true. But I mean, the fact remains that none of these teams have done it. And also, not just the Premier League, but also, you know, take the other top tier leagues. I believe there also, you know, nothing of this sort has been achieved. So in terms of quality, I'm not sure about whether all the other teams in all the other clubs match up to the quality of the rest of them. But like I said, the fact remains that none of those teams have also achieved what we have done.
I agree. Achievement of what we did is something that will not be, there is no parallel for that. What we did was exceptional. We won also. We won sufficiently enough for us to be crowned champions. So there is no doubt that it's unparalleled. There is, it's not been done in the history of the modern era. I really don't remember. I think there was some club which did in some league. I'm really not sure, but Preston was the last one who did it in the first division. So yeah, it's absolutely guaranteed that this was an unbelievable achievement.
Yeah, I think what we should probably also take into account is how much this invincible squad costs. Barely anything, right? I mean, no one really speaks about it enough. But Freddy Ljungberg cost $3 million. $3 million for Freddy. And I think it was only in the 3-4 season that we signed Reyes. And I think back then he was the most expensive player. And he was what, 20, 15? I'm not sure. But yeah, there was no player that costed more than $25 million. We didn't even spend as much. And Colo Touré was brought on after a trial. And he went on to play. He started 37 games out of 38 for us. And he was signed for 150,000, 250,000, something like that. So I think all that has to be taken into account. The quality of team that was put together with barely any expenditure. I mean, at least in terms of that, I think we can confidently say that that will probably never happen again. Yeah, I think the unbeaten thing is kind of bound to. It's just law of numbers, I guess. But I would be curious to see if, at least during our lifetime, if we would ever see a team that, let's say, goes unbeaten after barely spending, okay, it was 20 million back then, but now let's say by just spending 80 million. We've seen teams spend hundreds of millions and they still haven't gone unbeaten.
Yeah, so what do you think is, you know, was the most underrated factor of the invincible season?
I think how good our defense was. I mean, we all talk about attack, right? We all talk about Henry's solo finishes. There were plenty that season. Perez curling one in from the left time and again, there was plenty of that as well. Vieira and his robustness and how he led from the front in the tunnel, the fights, all of it. But I think what probably doesn't get mentioned enough is probably how solid Campbell and Touré was. That was his, if not his debut, it was pretty much his breakthrough season. And I think he hadn't been there for more than 2 seasons. Touré, he was unbelievable that season. Started 37 games. And Lauren too, he barely mentioned, he started almost every single game. I think our defense is probably not mentioned as enough. Maybe they would be if we hadn't dropped the ball in the cup competitions. But if you're talking purely in terms of the league, maybe that is one characteristic that isn't spoken of enough.
I think I agree. The defense, just name me a better combination of that defense. Jens Lehmann, Lauren, Touré, Campbell, Ashley Cole. You just couldn't ask for anything better. I think Arsene did mention this, that the most important player in that invincible squad was Lauren. And for people who may have forgotten or don't remember, it was that penalty against Spurs when Henry had missed the previous game penalty, and he literally said, "I won't take this penalty." It was such a crucial penalty. And it was Lauren who stepped up and took that penalty at home when we won against Spurs. So it was a lot of character that was shown. These were the players. Henri, Bergkamp, Perez, Vieira are the easiest names to mention. But I would say the most important player in that whole season for us to go invincible had to be Lauren for me. Basically unknown, comes and he was there, right at your face. Old Trafford not just was the Keown jumping all over Van Nistelrooy, but it was Lauren squaring up to almost half the squad, including a very young Ronaldo at that time with his petulance. So I think for me, if you ask the most important player for helping us to go unbeaten for all the superstars, I would say Lauren was my man.
Yeah, fair enough. So you talked about a lot of, the defense, right? So how good was Jens Lehmann?
You needed that eccentricity, didn't you?
Honestly, looking for a word, I thought eccentric. You took it right off my mouth.
You needed that, didn't you? And he is not just that. He was a leader in the back. We all right now when we talk, we have during this series of podcasts we have had said what's lacking in Bernd Leno. Jens Lehmann was not your perfect goalkeeper. It was never was. But he was the leader. He was the one commanding his defense. And his defense, remember, you're talking about Sol Campbell. For me, arguably after Tony Adams, our best defender, at least the one I saw. And he would just listen to Jens. Jens could go and hold anybody by their collar. He did that, I think, to a couple of players also. And they would listen. So Jens was your leader. When we had leaders all over the pitch, name me one player in that who you could say was he's artistic, he's nice, but he's not that. He's not that solid player. Not even one. For all his absolute brilliance, Dennis Bergkamp, for example, had that nasty sting in him. You wouldn't be able to get off him so easily, would he? An odd elbow thrown at somebody would be very innocuous, but it was meant. These were very strong characters.
Yeah, I think Jens's nickname pretty much sums him up. Mad Jens, right? So, yeah. He was eccentric, like you guys said. He was probably the X factor that was needed in the squad to take us all the way. All these small things matter. And probably Jens was the X factor in terms of what he brought in attitude and in voice and spirit on the pitch and off of it. I don't think we had a soft touch that season. Like when I said, there were no softies in the squad. You read right through the squad and they were just a team of captains. And then you had the likes of Campbell, the spine of the squad, carrying it through in Campbell, Vieira, Henri and Jens, right? That was the spine that season.
Yeah. So do you think, there's some sort of regret? Of course, you mentioned about, the invincible squad underachieving. So do you think there are regrets about, how we dropped out of the other cup competitions and other trophies, missing out on them?
Yeah. We should have. What happened in the Champions League, I cannot believe it. There are so many regrets from that season, just as many joys that we had. The joys are the come from behind win against Liverpool, the night we blew away Leeds, of course, going unbeaten, that United game when Van Nistelrooy hit the bar from the spot and whatever happened. But the disappointments are definitely number one, the Champions League, losing to Chelsea of all teams, and Henri not winning the Ballon d'Or. How he did not win, we'll never know. He was miles ahead of Nedved. But yeah, there have been disappointments, and I would call those two out as the most disappointing from that season, because there was probably not a coach in the world, if they were true to themselves, that would have said Henri wasn't the best in the world at that point in time.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I think Champions League, it sticks out very badly because that squad. I think Porto wins it. Jose Mourinho's Porto wins the Champions League, I think, in that season, 2004. I may be wrong, but I think it was Porto. So imagine that. Would we not have? I don't know who they played in the semifinals. I don't know who Chelsea played in the semifinals. But I just can't think of any team during that time with who I don't think so we would have beaten to go on to win. It was just about two more rounds, right? We win the quarterfinals against Chelsea. And then we go on to the semifinals and one-off final. I just think if we had won that, or even the 2006 Champions League, not this squad, but I'm just talking Champions League, the whole thing about Arsenal Football Club would have turned. I still say that one Champions League during this time would have turned a lot of things for us. You can call it psychological, but not having won a Champions League or a European League trophy is always going to hurt Arsenal. So that squad was the best equipped one, though the 2006 ones faced a lot tougher teams. Remember that we had to beat Juventus, Real Madrid, Villarreal, all these guys. But this would have been much easier. So a huge regret had to be not winning the Champions League.
Yeah, so I mean, imagine that there's a gold trophy sitting in front of you and right next to it, there's a Champions League trophy. Which one do you pick up, and what do you think Arsene would have done?
He would have gone for both. There is no doubt he would have gone. If you ask him, he will say he would have regretted losing the FA Cup game. He would have regretted everything. But if you ask me very honestly, even now, straightforward answer without thinking too much, Arsenal going unbeaten or Arsenal winning the Champions League, I'll tell you Arsenal winning the Champions League. I love the unbeaten thing. But we winning the league and the Champions League in the same season, that is for me a bigger gold trophy than anything else in this world.
Yeah, so again, there are two ways to look at it. If you're going to be completely practical and subjective about it, then yes, I would agree with what Vinay said. But in terms of just the outstanding nature of the feat, I think going unbeaten probably, I don't know, it's difficult to even say it trumps winning the Champions League along with the league. But it's a record that as of now we hold, and as long as no one breaks it, that's probably one thing that we'll cherish the most, or Arsenal fans that have been around for more than 20, we've been around for a while, closing on two decades, but probably the ones that have been around for 3 or 4 decades, they would probably still say that going unbeaten is their greatest memory. Of Arsenal. As for not winning the Champions League being the disappointment that season, yes, but I think that is Wenger's biggest disappointment. Was there for time immemorable, and not bringing it home on the European stage when we've had the teams equipped to do it, right? It is quite disappointing. I mean, we've lost to Barca when we shouldn't have lost to Barca. Multiple times, be it the quarterfinals or the finals, Eto being offside, he was miles offside. And Chelsea, it is quite disappointing.
All right. So, who was your favorite invincible?
I gave mine. Lauren, for me, was the invincible in that squad. It's very tough to ignore Henry. Because Invincibles was a lot to do with Henry. He held up when things were going afloat. He was the one who... It was not just the Spurs run. It was not just the Liverpool goal. There are lots and lots of games. We all know each and every goal of his or anything. But for me, why Lauren is again the same thing, the character. He was the one who stepped up when everyone else were about to drop their shoulders, saying, like, this is too much. So for me, the best invincible in that squad is Lauren.
Yeah, for me, it's difficult to look beyond Henry and Vieira. Henry probably nicks it, simply because he dragged us by the collar over the line multiple times that season. And it's easy, right? The memories, the goals, the memories always stand out. So, yeah, it's between Henry and Vieira, and I would say Henry just about nicks it. But, yeah, everyone's a winner that season, be it Lauren or Campbell, Jens, Henry, Perez, all of them.
Yeah, I mean, Vieira has to be mentioned, right? I mean, our captain, our leader, and I mean, we are still searching, and we will never get that kind of a player again. Vieira is just going to be there in any time you mention about anything. And the last time we win or won something, that was the last league we won, remember? It had to have his stamp. He, Perez, Henri, Dennis, of course, all these players will always have a stamp wherever, whenever you mention Arsenal. But the reason why we mention the likes of Lauren or and Ashley Cole, as I keep telling, is the sheer consistency. I don't know who played right back beyond Lauren in that season. I really can't even remember who was our right back as a backup to him. So this is what I say when I mean character and consistency.
All right. So I think we've come to an end about the Invincible, the one thing, you know, that truly lives on. So that was me, Anjan, hosting. Thank you, Vivek and Vinay. And thanks for listening. Thank you for listening. Please search Arsenal Bangalore on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram, and follow our official handles for all the updates.